One Man Revolution, Volume 2, Episode 21. And long live the revolutionary. That's me, the revolutionary, the one man behind One Man Revolution. And I'm here in Piney Point Studios in Orlando, Florida today. And I have some sad news. I was driving back from one of the movie premieres tonight, and what did I see in my headlights but an armadillo? And I feel bad because I think that's the first animal I've ever actually hit. And needless to say, 3,800 pound car, 8 pound armadillo. And even though I don't think I caught him head on, I mean, I caught him with one of the tires. After washing out the bottom of my car, I pretty much don't think he made it. So I dedicate this song, even though I didn't know you, my friend. And I apologize for what happened. I dedicate this song to you, my little armadillo friend. This is called Bye Bye from Freak Accident. I thought it was kind of apropos. It's 2:41, 2 minutes and 41 seconds, so if you just want to skip by and get to the headlines, feel free. But I just thought, as a person who loves life and really thinks that you should give a nod when something bad happens, even when it's just an armadillo, I'd play this for you. So for the next 2 minutes and 41 seconds, this is dedicated to you, my little armadillo friend, that we met by accident, and I just wanted to say bye-bye.
Well, I really, really think that it's a shame and a sin, but I won't apologize for the shape that I'm in. I can't seem to shake this funny feeling inside, and I'm sorry if I scare you or injure your pride. I can't make sense where it all went wrong, but it doesn't really matter, cause we don't belong together, my friend. I hate to see it end. Bye-bye. Well, I could try harder, but I'm just too tired, and I wish that I could say that I was still inspired. Something happened somehow way back down the line, and it would be just great if I could fake it's all fine. But we can't go on acting like it's gonna get better, and in enough time you'll see it won't really matter at all, my friend. I hate to see it end, but bye-bye. Say to you, bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.
That's right. Bye-bye, my little armadillo friend. Sorry we met by accident, but I guess these things happen once in a while. It must have just been your time. And speaking of time, I had an excellent day today, with the exception of that. It started out a little slow, but about halfway through it, I moved on and had some business to attend to. So I took half a day that was owed to me, and went and did some really interesting stuff. I ran some errands, did some shopping, did the things that most people do during their weeks. I generally have so much that's going on in my life that I don't even have time sometimes to breathe, and that's why I podcast late at night while sitting here in my t-shirt and talking to you guys. So I took some time, and I also had a mission today. This afternoon, I had the opportunity, as a member of the Legitimate Press, to go and watch a premiere in a theater with about 12 other people from the press. Now, this is my first opportunity in a long time. I've seen the other films that way, some of the other kids' films that are out there, but this is the first one that I saw that was actually aimed at a more adult audience. What I'm talking about, of course, is X-Men 3. Be jealous, people. Be jealous. I got to see the third installment of the X-Men series all by my lonesome with my partner, Joey Cruz from Ravenlox Entertainment, with some folks from different newspapers and news outlets and radio stations. The 12 of us sat there, and my hat's off to Tracy. You always do us a great job in getting us a theater to screen one of these films. Now, I'm not going to give anything away, but if you've been paying attention to the X-Men series, this is the one where everything comes to a head and the war begins. And sometimes a war is just a single battle. And yes, without giving anything away, there are casualties on both sides. And there is a nod to pretty much all the different phases of the characters' different lives that are out there. I was kind of hesitant because Kelsey Grammer was going to be in this movie as the Beast, but he does play the perfect Hank McCoy for all of you people out there that have read the X-Men. And for those of you that haven't, the Beast is a blue-haired, gymnastic kind of creature that has, a lot of intelligence, and his name is Dr. Hank McCoy. And so he does do a lot of talking in this movie, and no one better represented him than Kelsey Grammer. They did an excellent job. My hat's off to the folks who chose the cast. Of course, we also have the issue of people like Jane Grey in the end of the last movie being dead, or is she? And if you've seen the trailers, you saw the actress back alive on the screen, so therefore we know that she does come back. I won't spoil it about how she comes back or what she is or how she does it. I'm sure that you'll all run out and see the movie next week. I'm sorry, a week after next, Memorial Day weekend. It will be the biggest film Memorial Day weekend. You can take that to the bank. The Revolutionary rarely puts his title on the line, but let me tell you, this movie gets 5 stars from the Revolutionary. Now, there are very few films that I've ever seen that really wrap up a series. We know that this is the third installment, and many movies do not make it past the third film. The stars get bored with playing the parts. The movie companies get tired of paying the salaries and the fees. But this is a very, very well put together movie. You will not notice time going by. It does not drag at any point. It has great action scenes. It has wonderful fight scenes. And it's a movie, and this is a movie, and it's meant to be entertaining. Now, like I said, this gets the 5 revolutionary stars from the Revolutionary, and I will be going to see this again in the very near future. There is a screening of it next week that I just by chance have the ability to go to because Ravenlox Entertainment is hosting a screening. But we do not have many tickets. And yes, we've gotten probably thousands of calls from people on the Ravenlox hotline of people looking for tickets. And we really don't have a lot of them. But if you are a loyal fan and you have been coming out to our screenings and you can identify yourself by name and we know you, we'll see what we can do about getting you in. We have very limited availability of tickets. They were very, very, they were very good about getting us tickets, but this time there are very few. And we'll make it up to you in the future with Superman and with other movies. But it is a movie, and it is fun, and it was just for entertainment, and that's why I give it 5 stars, because it's a movie. I went in with an expectation of having a good time, seeing action, seeing stars, seeing the storyline continue. I will tell you, in fact, that you need to stay all the way through the closing credits. You won't be disappointed. All right, so I'll just give you that much, and as we get closer to the actual release date, which is next Friday, not tomorrow, but the next Friday, I will give you maybe some possible tidbits. And I know that Ravenlocks Entertainment will be giving a bit of a review of X-Men 3. So head over to Ravenlocks.com on Tuesday, and we will have a good review of X-Men 3, The Last Stand. All right, well, I also had the opportunity later on in the evening to see a movie that has been much heralded. Actually, it was much ridiculed, much maligned and other things, and it actually made the news while it was in production about it actually being able to be released. It was actually held up. Of course, I'm talking about The Da Vinci Code, the Michael Brown book that was held in court because it was said that it was that the book was plagiarized, therefore the movie could not be released until that was settled. Michael Brown was exonerated, and the movie went forward. This is, of course, the fantasy book, and it is an admitted fantasy about a protagonist that goes and discovers upon a murder occurring. If you haven't read the book, then I don't want to spoil it for you. I won't spoil it for you. A murder occurs. There's a man who is a symbologist, a folklorist, and his name is Longdon, and he hooks up with a young woman. And they go on a marvelous adventure through the streets of Paris, through the streets of London, and back to Paris again. And it's a question about is divinity more important to man than man is to man? And it's a very interesting look at at the life and times and the possible cloak and dagger stuff that has occurred from the Catholic Church from the death of Christ to today. And like I said, it is a much heralded movie. Tom Hanks stars, Ron Howard directs, Ron Howard produces. Like I said, fantastic and phenomenal movie. If, and I have to say, if you can stay for the 2.5 hours that the movie is, and if you like a film that goes pretty well along with the book, someone came out and said, "Hey, I would give it an A. It followed the book very well. It's probably the best movie adaptation of a book that they have seen." And I would definitely agree with them. I've seen a lot of Michael Crichton stuff changed over. I've seen a lot of William Gibson stuff changed over from book form and short story form to film. And this, I think, is the best, honestly, the best translation from book to film. So hats off to the screenplay writers, and hats off to the actors that were involved, and the director, Ron Howard. I give this one, because it is a film, I'll give this one 4.5 stars. Don't give it quite 5, because I have never seen a film that hits me to the point where it makes me hit it with 5 out of 5, with the exception of maybe as a movie, like I said, X-Men, The Last Stand, because I felt that that was a great continuation of a story. And if you watched all three of them back to back to back, kind of like the Back to the Future series, they would hold up as a great set of movies. Now, this again is fiction, and a lot of people, even like the entire country of the Philippines, is trying to stop this film from being shown because they feel that it is blasphemous, that it is against the church, and it's against God, and it's an abomination. Well, my friends, the revolutionary will sit back here and say, "I applaud those people for standing up for what they believe in." And I stand up for anyone who will stand up against something. So hats off to you folks in the Philippines. Now, on the other hand, I also have to say that this is a work of fiction. It has been proven time and time again that this is a work of fiction. If you want to get out your tinfoil hat and say, "Well, of course the Catholic Church says that it's fiction," because you know if it weren't fiction, then they would be in a heap bit of trouble. All right, they make a good case. It is a piece of fiction. Even Michael Brown. I'm sorry, I've been calling him Michael Brown. It's Daniel Brown. Even Brown has to say that it was a piece of fiction. So hats off again. I give it 4.5 stars. It is a film. It is something that you sit through. It is long at times for the people that were looking for something like Mission Impossible. Which, of course, if you're looking for something like Mission Impossible, go see Mission Impossible. If you like, if you like Tom Cruise and what those films are, I particularly didn't. All right, so let's take a break right here, 2 minutes and 57 second break, with Tate's Tasteless Yet Full of Class by Sweet Dis. Crap, Sweet Dis. Dang it. Man, I can't find my notes on this one. Sweet Dis and the Comebacks. And come on back in 2:57 after Tasteless Yet Full of Class by Sweet Dis and the Comebacks.
Tomorrow night, we could sing like lovers on a rooftop until the cops come and make us shut the hell up, just like they always do. And I'd rather be there with you. Take the posters down, you'll always be up in my heart. I watch you from the back, taking in your every detail, till they're mine. And I know you're a one in a million chance, but one is still a good chance. In my mind, so what do you say? You and I, tomorrow night, we could sing like lovers on a rooftop until the cops come and make us shut the hell up, just like they always do. And I'd rather be there with you. It was my senior year.
Music like that, it makes you laugh, doesn't it? Yeah, I think that Sublime had another one like that, called Date Rape, which kind of kicks you in the shorts there at the end too. So, how are you people doing today? My goodness, I'm looking around here, looking at this stuff. Got some great information going on here. Today, man, what the heck is this? I printed something out and it looks really, really bad. What the heck? Wow. Okay, well, today I got an e-newsletter in the mail, in my email, from Congressman Rick, no K, Keller. And it says here, "Dear friend," and he is my congressman for the 8th district here in Orange County in Central Florida. "I am proud to announce the launch of my new e-newsletter, which will become a regular service to the constituents of Florida's 8th district. I am launching this e-newsletter to help reduce the cost of regular mailings and to keep you updated on the critical issues before Congress. Now, as I reported yesterday, President Bush raised $17 million in a single day to help keep people like Rick Keller in office. Now, let's see what Rick Keller is talking about today about what he has done for me as a constituent inside of his district. Well, he blocked, according to this, and then he backs off at the end, blocked the proposed sale of the Ocala National Forest. Well, it was only really nearly 1,000 acres. The big headline is the sale of the Ocala National Forest. But the actual text of it says that, as you're aware, the administration proposed a 2000 in the its 2007 budget to sell off 304,000 acres of our national forest, including 1,000 acres of the Ocala National Forest. Their rationale for selling the forest lands is to raise $800 million for rural roads and schools. Sounds like a noble thing, right? And they say these parcels are not crown jewels of our national forests. So Rick Keller trying to say that he's an environmentalist, which if you look at his record, I think it stands on its own of whether or not he is. It says he led the fight in Congress to oppose this action because he believed that it's a reckless fire sale of precious national forest land and is financially short-sighted and environmentally irresponsible. All right, so he talked about basically ruining if we address this budget shortfall. It addresses a budget shortfall temporarily, ruining pristine national forest land, and that's permanent. So he submitted a letter with Congressman Ben Chandler of Kentucky of the House Budget Committee opposing the sale of these forest lands. And he says, thankfully, this week he received some great news at his request. The House Interior Appropriations Committee inserted language that says that, let's see, the Bush administration calls on the Bush administration to kill its reckless proposal to sell the national forest lands. So basically, in his headline, he says he blocked it, and in the actual text of it, if you don't read the actual text of it, it says that really he's still working on getting it blocked. All right, so that's one thing. That way, he can say, "Well, I told you I was trying to block it, but somebody else stopped me." Okay, there are over 400 congressmen. Of course, I just couldn't get the votes, so it makes him look like a hero. Way to go, Rick. No K. Keller. It's RIC Keller, by the way. Rick with no K. So I call him No K, because otherwise I would be calling him Okay. So another one is he has another big headline on this e-newsletter that's only two topics, which I think is kind of nice. I hope there are a lot of these because I think they'll make great fodder for this podcast. Protecting our nation's school children from convicted pedophiles. Well, I'll be. Isn't that wonderful? It sounds great. The House, and it sounds like he's all responsible for it. The House of Representatives recently passed the Children's Safety and Violent Crime Reduction Act, which includes three comprehensive provisions to protect our school children from pedophiles. Now, that's wonderful. Oh my gosh, it sounds so great. First, it allows local school districts in Central Florida to perform criminal background checks on coaches, janitors, and teachers who work with our children and make sure they're not convicted pedophiles. Okay, that's kind of common sense. Why the hell weren't we doing that before? If it takes an act of law to do that, that's pretty bad. But it says that basically, without this new law, only pedophiles with in-state criminal records would have been detected. So this federal law allows us to see if some guy from Georgia or Tennessee or Texas is coming here to diddle our kiddles. Now, second, this bill protects young children by keeping these pedophiles locked up with lengthy prison sentences. Now, to me, mandated prison sentences does not help solve crime. It just ties the hands of judges, and I think judges really need to do all their job and look at the case and the facts that are within the case. And this type of legislation really causes problems for that. But he does have a good point. Basically, we had two girls in the Central Florida area, Jessica Lumsford and Sarah Lundy, that were abducted, raped, and killed. And in both cases, they were convicted sex offenders who were out on probation. Now, who's to say that after a lengthy stay in prison, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, that these guys wouldn't get out and do the exact same thing? So this legislation, again, not a real big feather in your cap there, Rick. And let me tell you this much: it took a lot more people than just you to vote yay on this in order for it to become law. It also takes the Senate, which has a companion piece of legislation now for the Congress to work on finalizing it, and the President to sign into law. So the President still has to sign it in order for it to become a law. That's how our government works. But on this part here, it says third, legislation improves the sex offender registration and notification program and imposes jail sentences again for sex offenders who fail to provide current information of where they reside, work, and attend school. So thank you very much, Rick No K Keller. And I hope to see more of these. And I invite you to come on the Revolutionaries program. Just email me at onemanrevolution@gmail.com. All right, so thank you, Rick. I really appreciate this. One last piece. It is late, and I got to get this podcast up. And it basically is about something that happened last night. And this was that actor and activist Robert Redford went on Larry King, CNN's Larry King Live, and there is a transcript of this available on Larry King's website to discuss rising oil prices and to promote American Progress in Action's Kick the Oil Habit campaign. And you can get more information on the Kick the Oil Habit campaign at kicktheoilhabit.org. And on there, Robert Redford explained that it's important to see the true story being told about how we got here, why we've had the lack of political leadership on the issue, and what solutions are available for the American people. By looking at this campaign, people can get involved and push and pressure their elected officials to look at new, other solutions. One of the ones that he promoted was the usage of E85, which is ethanol 85, 85% ethanol, 15% gasoline, and it's an alternative ethanol-based fuel to highlight, calling, to highlight what we can do to make sure that our alternative fuels are being utilized. Now, feel free to go to another site which is out there, which is E85fuel.com, to get information on ethanol 85, and also look at biodiesel. Biodiesel is yet another wonderful fuel I've talked about here on One Man Revolution before. It's such a great clean fuel if you have a diesel car. Now, if you have a gasoline engine car with lower compression, look into ethanol 85 or look into straight ethanol. These are things that we can put in our tanks today to reduce our need for foreign oil. Okay? But currently, this leadership has not. King George has no reason, and neither does Gunner Cheney, to look into getting us off the proverbial tit of foreign oil, because they are in bed with the oil companies as far as we can tell. All right. So, Larry King, very good interviewer. Go ahead and read the transcripts at transcripts.cnn.com. And just look up the transcripts there. I'll attach a link, of course, to the podcast. I'll put that under a new section of my show notes that I'm calling. What am I calling it here? Let's see, under my show notes. It's called links. Look at that! Wow. So sometimes I crack myself up with these things. Also in the links section tonight, I have a link to a campaign ad from. From, let's see, from Trans Buddha, which is from the Lyndon Baines Johnson election campaign back in 19 and I think it's 63, 64, somewhere in there. And if you think our ads from today are powerful, and tell people to vote or else really bad things are going to happen. If you think they're awful, whoa, get a load at this one and put up that Trans Buddha ad so that you can take a look. All right. So hats off to you, Robert Redford, for doing that great thing about coming on and saying that there all are alternatives to gasoline that we can start using today to change and revolutionize the way we think. So the revolutionary thought of today is to go check out E85fuel.com, go check out kicktheoilhabit.org, and sign up for their newsletters to find out what you can do about reducing our dependence on oil. Because if we take the oil out of the equation, the administration under King George starts to crumble and fall away very quickly. We don't have to worry about the terrorists anymore because guess what? We're no longer invading their backyard. We can pull out of Iraq. We can stop worrying about Iran. We can let China and Russia and Iran build their little pipeline and change over to euros for the open market of oil, and we can utilize a cleaner burning, more civilized form of fuel for our vehicles. And what I'm talking about is something that's renewable, something that is biomass, something that we can use today to solve our problems today. Now, I think the undercover hippie is saying it best, and he sent in some beautiful feedback to me. You can read that up there on onemanrevolution.org. And his feedback said, hey, check out some of my other music. So guess what I have? And this is Blood is Thicker Than Oil by the Undercover Hippie. It's 4 minutes and 25 seconds, and I'll be back after that to give you contact information and to clue you in on something that's coming up in the near future. So here he is, the Undercover Hippie, with 4 minutes and 25 seconds of Blood is Thicker Than Oil.
Every time I watch the news these days, I see the same old leaders trying to lead us into wars with propaganda that they feed us. As the unelected president of the United States of General Motors plans his next move aimed to help his business partners meet their quotas, and I watch the world just step aside, waiting for their piece of the American pie. Yeah, and as Blair kisses Bush's butt and calculates his cut, NBC does his best to stir your patriotic feelings up. And as the people we're protecting, they pile up in the soil, I tell you this, my friends, blood is thicker than oil. Yeah, well, people, they try to tell me the ends justify the means. Well, I guess these people haven't ever listened to the screams. And there's clearly many questions that I really can't ignore. Like, is it a just war? Or is it just a war? State of emergency, national security, fear of an enemy that you can't see. Saving my liberty, that's what they're telling me. Make more space in the military cemetery. Troops in Afghanistan wiping out the Taliban. They had other plans, moved to Pakistan. Overseas enterprise, dollar signs in their eyes. Yesterday's allies are soon to be enemies. Well, we went on in there looking for the WMD. Instead, we found a country that was practically empty, except for one commodity, of which they had plenty, enough to power Bush's fleet of cars for the next century. Yeah, nah. I watched the world just step aside, waiting for their piece of the American pie. Yeah, and as Blair kisses Bush's butt and calculates his cut, NBC does his best to stir your patriotic feelings up. And as the people we're protecting, they pile up in the soil. I tell you this, my friends, blood is thicker than.
Dedicate that last song to all the soldiers that lost their lives in the Iraqi conflict. I can't call it a war because it's undeclared. And my heart goes out to the families that lost their sons and daughters and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters. And to all the active duty military out there, I support the troops, my friends. I love you, each and every one of you. And I hope that God blesses each one of you and brings you home safely. And hopefully brings you home as soon as possible. If you want to reach One Man Revolution, go ahead and email me at onemanrevolution@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our site, onemanrevolution.org. And come by and check out Ravenlock's Entertainment Podcast. If you want something lighter than, I guess, is tonight's show, a lot of death and a lot of other stuff. But remember, be revolutionary. Revolutionize yourself and the way you think every day. It only takes one man to stand up and say that's enough and start a revolution. Peace.